Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3. Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast. I am Captain Darren Moser, stranded here on the planet with Commander Philip Gilfus and also Commander Daniel Prue. Now, Daniel and Philip, did you know that City Alpha 3 actually has a station in orbit above us? I was looking through my telescope one day wishing to be rescued, and it just passed right in front. I didn't even see that as we were crashing to our almost fiery deaths, but there's a small little station up there. I don't know if any lights are on, but I feel like we're not so alone down here on this planet.
Well, when I was looking at it through the telescope, I noticed it was sort of like at an odd angle. So it was kind of...
That's a bad omen.
I know, it seemed very menacing, like at a 45-degree angle.
That's a really
angle.
Bad... Okay. Yeah. I was going to say we should go up there, but now, no. Wait, no, angle to what? Because space is kind of relative...
Just angles, Darren.
Okay.
Just angles.
Oh, it's a very angular station. Okay. I like my stations almost spherical. That's the best. Like Dyson Sphere is like the perfection right there.
Like the Death Star, Darren? What are you trying to say right now?
That had a divot in it and like a trench around the middle. So totally not perfectly spherical.
I prefer partially built Death Star. That's actually the lie. I don't even know. The Star Wars in my mouth. Blah, blah, blah. I don't even know why I dirtied myself with that.
It is much bigger, so there you go.
That is true. The scale of things in the Star Wars universe is a good chunk larger than Star Trek, but we're not comparing Star Wars to Star Trek today. We'll save that for another episode. But today on City Alpha 3, we are going to be talking about the stations of Star Trek. You know me and my alliteration, I just had to go with that topic. So we're going to start off jumping in the deep end of the pool and talk Deep Space Nine. It's not only a station, it is also an entire series that we spend. And really, it's not Federation. It is a Cardassian station, and it is perfectly level with the angular plane of the Bajoran system, which is, that's Federation standard right there. Always go with the orbital plane of the system you're in. But
now is it, Darren? Because it was to Bajor, but when it moved, and that makes sense, we never saw it in relation to anything but the wormhole.
True, but when we saw it, and because you see it move in Emissary, but you don't see it turn, so it just
turn.
Well, it spins,
yes,
because it's only got like thrusters working on one side or something
so it's
like that.
Whoosh, 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 whoosh.
Yeah, the gravity increased slightly in the outer docking ring.
I feel like
for that
before
maneuver.
Chief O'Brien got it just right, he was kind of doing like the curly like.
Look, in space, you can totally do some sort of BS shield that lowers your mass. Doesn't even make any sense, but, this from a universe of fast and light travel, but...
Well, that technology would have come in handy a lot of other times, is all I'm saying.
Well,
we never, ever see it again.
And this is me being nerdy, because that's what we do here. The TNG reference would be in Deja Q, when Geordi uses Q's idea to make the moon weigh less by using warp bubble or shield so they can move the moon.
I was thinking that.
But.
Well, apparently only a fusion of Cardassian and Federation technology can produce this effect on a station.
And only once.
And then it burned out some sort of key thing that we have to replace.
It's kind of like the chameleon circuit on the TARDIS. I mean, once that thing's broken, never again.
It's a one and done, huh? It's really unfortunate there is no technology that works on that principle, but that's okay.
Now, I think the thing with Deep Space Nine, or Tarok Nor, as I think the hardcore people call it, the hipsters, I really feel like that could be a functional transformer. Like, there's a lot with the arms and legs and maybe like it
like a spider transformer.
Off. Maybe. I just feel like there's a lot of moving parts there that could work.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, you would think that with all those docking pylons, they would be able to move to configure, you know, larger ships. Like every ship dock, you know, and I mean the Enterprise, when we see that dock at an upper pylon, it's the Enterprise is pretty big. Like I would almost think you couldn't have three Galaxy classes all next to each other at the upper docking.
That's what I was going to say is, now I am no space station designer, but the one problem I have with the pylons are, shouldn't they be facing the outside?
Mm, okay.
So that there's plenty more room, that you're not crowding a bunch of ships all together, you know, that could potentially run into each other and crash.
Well, it's the power
that's
of
like
three.
Putting... yes. Well, and that's true, because you have all the docking rings around the outer perimeter, but you think, okay, for safety, are you going to put them on the inside? But then you got just, you're going to crash all the time.
Yeah.
So, and it's space.
To be fair, we never see more than like one or two docking pylons actually used at a time. I don't think.
Yeah.
It's usually,
it's not very, very often.
Usually the ring, I mean, that's not the name of it, I'm sure, but the ring docks, you seem like those are used a lot more multiple at the same time.
Right, yeah, the outer docking ring has
a lot.
I don't remember exactly how many. Well, there's three. There's at least
three, right? Because there's three at the base of the.
Yeah, there's three at the base, but then I think there is.
No, it's not. Yeah, another... it's not the middle part that's the outer ring. It's like inside. Like I think it's almost
right.
Like...
There's two rings. There's the habit. There's the promenade, then the habitat ring, then the docking ring.
Yeah.
But in the docking ring, I'm pretty sure there's at least two per
section.
Circle section. Yeah. Plus the one on the spoke. So that would be nine around the docking ring, which, you know, makes sense. So nine there, plus another six on the upper lower pylons, plus anything else, you know, jammed in somewhere we don't see. So that's quite a few.
Well, what kind of mining operation did the Cardassians have that there were going to be that many ships?
It is super efficient to mine the ore on the planet, ship it into orbit, to the mining station, process it, and then ship it out to Cardassia. I mean, I can't.
Well, we do live in a universe that is inhabited by transporters, so it is possible. Maybe it is.
Look, efficient. This station is only going to use Cardassian steel in its production of nice. This Kesium nice. Ore. I'm just
well, maybe
I'm
not
say
only
that.
Cardassian steel, but
you know, maybe some Bajoran steel, because it's right there, guys. It's right there. But
it's cheaper.
Well, you're not paying for labor, so.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, too soon. Here's the thing, though. I don't know. Maybe there's some, like, byproduct or something that's potentially hazardous that you can just kind of get rid of in space that you can't do it on the
planet or something. Wow, big polluters.
That's true.
Wow.
Well, and there's the fact that your workforce cannot escape because it is
that's
a station in space.
That's
so
useful.
You know, don't need a fence when the outside environment is inhospitable to the life form.
Now, I mean, we're not counting Impok Nor, which we've already made that sort of reference. I guess we've never seen another Cardassian station, right? Do we?
We do see the the shipyards, you know, kind of that when they're building ships, which kind of a similar design, but they're much more. Those are much more like, let's put the docking arms flung out so we can build a lot of ships next to them. And we also see those orbital shooting platforms that also had a kind of similar design.
Yeah, on Cardassian Prime. Yeah.
Yeah. Prime. So, but never a station. I think, well, the fact that Tarak Nor is almost identical to Impok Nor, guess that.
It's totally different. I don't think you changed your perspective enough.
99.9% the same, but I would assume that this is kind of their standard station schematic that they use when occupying.
Build it over Bajor? I mean, I don't remember the actual origin story of the station. I don't even
Well,
know
they've been there
told.
For 50 years, I think.
Right.
So that's quite a ways. I would assume that they would bring it in like pieces and assemble it.
But, and I guess that begs the question, maybe I'm the only one thinking about this, why is it the only station? Like, you have, it's an ore processing station, right? But, like, that's your only station you're going to have is ore processing? Like, there's not a shipbuilding, there's not a ship repair?
Thing was stripping the resources of Bajor, so maybe the other ones could be done on the planet or something like that. And it's true. That's another thing. I mean, keep the workforce in and keep the terrorists out. I mean, not that there are terrorists inside, but again, you have to defend a planetary base a lot harder to do so than an orbiting space station.
And I have to think, you know, and I don't know, maybe I'm projecting too much in the past, but like with Gul Dukat, I'm thinking like, ore processing plant, like, that's not really a prestigious station, like a posting. Like, I was head of, I'm well, like, yeah, but. Ugh.
But I don't think he was head of ore processing. He was head of the occupation. And so his, yeah. His base or his, you know,
was the ore processing station?
Was on the only station orbiting Bajor.
I'd rather be on, like, the planet and have, like, take over one of their temples or something. I mean, I think
he did have a place on the planet. I think, you know, he was, you know, he just also oversaw it sometimes from the space station.
That's
true. I mean,
it
sounded like he, you know, he was very familiar with Bajor and, you know, being there all the time and stuff.
But, I mean, he had that big, that was his office and I don't know what the Kardashian word for office is, but...
And it makes sense for, you know, for him who has this intense disdain for everything Bajoran to, like...
Literally be over them.
Go be the... Right. You know, and to go be at the only Cardassian place in the whole system. So it kind of makes sense.
No, that is true. But, yeah, I mean, we... And then the fact that the station converts so well to a place of commerce, considering... I mean, the promenade, I guess that's also the kind of thing that always struck me odd about the promenade, is it seemed very, like, let's put a mall on our labor camp. Like, I don't really see that being needed as much in the Gulag, but that could be me. It seemed very strange.
Well, also, I mean, I guess they, not that they bypass it, but, like, then it gets into economic theory of aliens because you can't have a mall if you know so then
you can't spend money Latinum and how do you spend money if you're a slave and, so.
Like you said but like it's not just trade, it's, you know, like I mean, if you really want to get to it, it's like, okay, how does Starfleet people have to pay to go to the Klingon restaurant, or is it just like a very enthusiastic Klingon who likes giving food away and
cooking?
Think
eventually they exchange something for Latinum, and every Starfleet operator is given like an allowance or something that they can spend to other cultures. That's my assumption. Mm-hmm. But
do you feel like, because again, I mean, I don't think like it's a secret that Deep Space Nine is not my favorite, but did y'all, who probably like a little bit more than I do, that you saw every part of the station you wanted to see?
That's true. I mean, we do see quite a bit of it. I feel... You know, this is one where, the schematics we see, I guess we could have seen a little more. Like, I've seen some cross-sections in the books and other things that really kind of better lay out, you know, how it's done. But, you know, you do see quite a few rooms. I mean, and the promenade set is massive. I mean, it's a third of that wheel or of that core, which is pretty impressive to
be
built. Yeah,
the promenade set is pretty awesome. I like that the station's so dark, which is very visually different than what we got in TNG. So it's a little more, a little contrast.
The color palette is really good.
Yeah. And, you know, blues and greens, you know, on the consoles and all that stuff. I think it's very well designed and it makes a lot of sense.
Except for ops. That makes no sense.
For ops, which is
just a jumble of.
Yeah. Well, I do like the gear doors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
the airlock doors are cool. So, yeah, I always wondered that, like, is it like, I mean, I get being able to seal off, but it's like, okay, you dock at the docking ring, you come out of that gear door, and then you take like a really long turbolift ride to the promenade, and then you got to go through another airlock door, but they always look like they just walked off the ship. It's like, where's customs? Well,
you know,
is customs
is?
Somewhere
like,
in between?
Yeah. It's the walkway to the plane. That's what
tarmac.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. But now I want to see like a customs office in between in the habitat ring that you have to go through.
Do you have anything
maybe
to
like
declare?
A bio check? Yeah, like some sort of biofilter check, because you got all these alien species. I mean, if there's an outbreak,
man, you know, DS9's, I feel like
doomed.
If there was a show that was on a space station, and then like when people came in, they actually had to go through security, and maybe show it on a Denta card, and they were scanned. I don't know. That's a crazy idea for a show.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you could make a show or five about that, but...
Coming soon to filibuster.
I picked up your reference, but I don't know. I don't watch the show, so...
All right. Well, any other notes we have to say about the biggest station that we... Well,
I don't know if it's
the biggest station. That's true.
I don't
think...
Well, look, Space Dogs... Like,
the most hours of scene...
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you count any star bases, that can't be the case, I feel like, but...
Now,
oh, and we will.
Now, I have to wonder, because we... I don't know if we see other deep spaces, if that's the proper term.
We do.
Do we see... I know we hear them, but do we see them? Like, what would be another deep space you remember?
They're usually, like, the regular one okay. type. So...
It's like Deep Space 3 or Deep Space...
Yeah, 7. I think Deep Space 4 we go to, and... But there's not... We don't see very many...
To me, the name doesn't make sense. That, like, a station's called Deep Space Number. Like, that's a weird name. Like, I would see, like, Deep Space Station 9.
And it's also Deep Space around a planet, which isn't Deep Space, but I guess it's really far from the Federation, so
I think
this counts as the frontier, so eat it.
But we live here!
Nope, Deep Space. Deep Space. Uncharted territory. So, well, you know, Dr. Bashir said, I think, everything we want to say about that, but, okay, well, let's move on. I want to talk about K7. Okay, because it's cool, and 7 because it's the 7th one we've seen, supposedly, this station.
M-O-U-S-E.
We see in TOS and Deep Space 9 on our Trouble with Tribbles two-parter, and this is... Cones in space. I mean, it's an interesting design. I mean, you have the different, I guess, habitable areas, lots of processing, but also the kind of circle parts you could see kind of clamshell open to allow, you know, large goods, and obviously way smaller than Deep Space Nine because compared to the size of like the Enterprise, original Enterprise and Klingon ships. But this one, you know, was one of the first times we see a station. That's because often we would see star bases, and they weren't on a star, Philip. They were on a planet. So, but this one, you know, is very, very iconic. And like I said, it's like cones and cylinders, you know. But I like K7. I think it had a good look. It was something different.
Yeah, and I mean, it looked like what it said it was, like a storage facility, because it's like
right.
There's the silos or whatever. Space silos. Yeah, but it was different in that, well...
You could store some wheat in those silos. Oh, sorry, wheat. Not wheat. Yeah.
Quattrocytokaline. I can't remember what it is.
Quattrocytokaline.
So
if we have the Star Trek musical, I think Super Catchafragilistic Expialidocious should be with that wheat.
Yes.
But I think, like, that's... K7, like, to me, there's no docking there. Like, there's no... I don't see how any...
You just beam over.
Well, the only way I could see is, like, the bottom. Like, someone, you know, you just get, like, the little pod section, and then you go up that way, but...
Well, you know, in the episode, we don't see the 20-minute pod sequence where it disengages from the Enterprise, slowly moves over, and then at the very last second, flips, and then docks. Pretty much. It takes 2,001 minutes to get from the station to the Enterprise.
Which that would actually be the rent version for Star Trek 2001. But yeah, I think with K7, it's interesting because, you know, I mean, obviously it's the TOS era. So, I mean, it has a functioning bar. I think, you know, every station should have it.
You pretty much need a functioning bar.
Right. You all talk about the mall on the ore station. You got to have a bar on a supply depot. I mean, that's just...
I mean, the whole core of the station on Deep Space Nine is the bar. It is the hub that keeps the station together. Any other thoughts you have on K7, Daniel? I mean, we see it only a couple times, but it is very iconic in classic Star Trek.
Yeah, we get to see it in Deep Space Nine. Well,
I mean, my question is, of course... What happened to K1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
Well, presumably they're all around.
What does the K stand for?
It's just the designation. I don't know. Maybe the first. Maybe they're around K-class planets, or I don't know.
That's true.
Don't ask me.
I mean, does K9 only have, you know, dogs stationed to it?
Affirmative.
Oh,
Master.
It's small. It's tiny. That's the thing about it that I'll say.
What does that mean? Very... Back then, they had like all the A stations and then the B stations.
Oh, yeah, and if you get assigned to the K stations, I mean, you better be checking your resume.
Yeah. It could be that. It could be that the K stations were specifically, you know, designed for like foodstuffs or something like that, you know.
Oh, so this is like now it's like the districts of district of Pan Am. Yeah. So the K stations.
I don't know for what, but yes. For containers. Yeah. We don't know how to spell in the future.
Nope. K eventually nice. Spells containers.
So it's like the Mortal Kombat school spelling.
Well, okay, now I'm seeing actually a pattern, guys. So the next one I wanted to talk about was the station we see in Dead Stop, which is one of my favorite stations, the kind of two cylinders with a central, you know, living or I guess habitable space that reconfigures and expands itself like a Chinese finger trap to catch the Enterprise and repair it. I mean, this thing's got arms, you know, for days to do that, but it does serve drinks. So it is, you know, following our theory that all stations need drinks.
Pan-fried catfish.
Yep, pan-fried catfish. So, I mean, it's smaller, definitely smaller. Like, we're shrinking in size, I feel. But this station, this was a beautiful station.
And I feel like the motto for this station is very friendly because it's like, come aboard, we're people-powered. And you're like, well, wow, that means like it's...
We're a people company.
It's really looking out for us.
What would you trade for the safety of your vessel?
What would you do?
And don't you try to skip out. Don't try to skip out on your bill. Let's just say that, because they take it out on you. You know, literally.
Was it like the energy of? Was it like a Matrix kind of?
It was like the computer. Yeah. The computer was made up of a neural connections between. Because they were like. Back in that day, you know, a computer would have taken a ton of space, like a normal computer. But humans are the greatest computer known.
Of course,
man.
They are.
You've seen the Matrix. But I think what's the station called again? I'm sorry, does it have an official name?
I don't think it does. I just know it's
Killer
Station
with a K.
Stuff.
I assume
Killer Station.
But I think the interesting thing I think about this station is not that it. Takes organic beings for computers and then repairs.
Because, you know, I would have led with that, but okay.
No, because this is it. It gives you closure. Because not only does it take a crewman, it gives you a fake crewman body where you're like, oh, well, I guess he just had a heart attack or something.
Well, no, how it works is it takes your crewman, but then gives you a crewman with a K.
That's true.
So it's slightly
as in
off,
killed.
But, you know. Right.
But like, I mean, to me, that's the bizarre element. It's like there's cunning or there's, you know, or it's like, yeah, you know, yes, we're taking it, but we're going to let you believe they died and then you can move on in peace.
Well, that way you don't bother. That's them. Right. That way the station gets to continue on.
I mean, what was it? And it's been a while because I mean, I'm going to start my Enterprise rewatch anytime here soon. But like, I'm trying to remember, like, were there any theories about like, because I mean, it's a very interesting idea, right? That I don't know if we're saying it's an organic station, but
it's very autonomous.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, what was it was built because, you know, just to have a wayfaring station or like it was actually for a certain species. And then I don't know.
I don't think we're ever really given any answers about it.
Yeah. All we see it listed as is repair station or automated repair station. But,
so
I'll look.
Give it the designation R Station 3.
Okay, R Station 3. That works for me.
It was designed by our good friend Doug Drexler, and it was inspired by a Chinese finger puzzle. I didn't even realize I was right on that. But
you must have watched that one Next Generation episode.
Yep, where Data gets stuck.
But that's a good point that we don't know, you know, who built it. And obviously, I mean, it's very advanced technology for the at least by human standards in that time.
Did you and I so, don't know then it's what was the name of the episode anyway
Dead Stop.
I was gonna say, was it Dead Stop? Because okay,
yeah, it was Dead Stop.
But anyway,
because they were dead stopped. Yeah.
Did what
is right after Minefield,
right? What did you all think of the ending of that episode? Because I think it's a little
where the station's putting itself
back
together.
I think it's a little like...
Oh, I like it.
Do you? I thought it was a little cheap, but I was like, eh.
Oh, that's cool. It's already mysterious. We don't know what the intentions are.
It made it more menacing because it could not be killed.
Well, to me, it felt a little bit like Dracula, and like at the end and the credits roll, and suddenly you see like the smoke gathering back, and you're like, or is it?
It's like Captain Proton, big question mark. Is this the end of the autonomous space station?
Not today. No, yeah. So I thought it was cool. I like that.
No, that's one of my favorite Enterprise episodes. Just a really a unique concept that was beautifully shown. You know,
and it helped reset the Enterprise without actually hitting a reset button. You're like, it's fixed now.
That's true.
It's good. Everything's good.
The writers are like, guys, Minefield, great episode, guys, but
there's a hole in the ship.
There's a hole in the ship. What are we gonna do?
I mean,
it took them 7 seasons of Voyager to figure it out. But they finally got.
Like they're in the writers' room. It's like, look, we can't go back to Earth. It's not like we can just like spontaneously come to some space station that's gonna fix everything. Why are you writing that down?
Or can we?
With a K.
Nice.
We can.
Nice.
Yes, we can. All right. Well, the next one on my list, I mean, we already kind of touched on it. Totally different design, totally different access. Terok Nor, we have Empok Nor. And I mean,
you seriously put that on the list?
Hey, look, okay, I'm trying to list space stations. There's only so many space stations.
We haven't even done like Space Dock.
Okay, fine.
You know,
so bypassing Empok
McKinley
Nor, which
Station.
We don't care about. Don't worry, we'll get there. Get there. Okay. Next, I have another Voyager station, and this is the prison station from the chute, where you think you're underground, but you're actually on a space station. So if you get past the force field, you are stuck in space and doomed.
Was that? I thought that was
the episode called The Chute.
I thought that was an asteroid. That was the space station. Okay.
It might have been an asteroid, but I'm pretty sure it was a station.
Well, I guess you could argue they
kind of
a station in an asteroid, whatever.
Yeah, you got your asteroid in my station. You got your station in my asteroid.
Which is kind of like the and again, I'm don't know if I'm remembering this correctly, so I could be wrong. But it reminds me. I mean, I'm saying the Voyager. I can't remember what it looked like, but it reminds me of the Dominion prison where Worf.
Right.
And
that was on an asteroid.
Yeah. Which is technically a station. I mean, you can't just say it's an asteroid, right? Because it's a station still.
Well, it makes me think of the prison in Guardians of the Galaxy, which was definitely a station, you know, that they... Well, they're all dead now, but...
Oh, come on. Spoilers.
Yeah, you know, movie's been out.
No, what it reminded me of was... well, when you said... Space Station Prison, I was reminded of Mass Effect 2, which also had something very similar.
I'm playing Mass Effect 1 again right now, Daniel. Spoilers. I haven't even decided who I'm going to romance yet.
Oh, you were early on then, yeah. Huh? You got to pick it
Enough
up.
Enough about my fence shopping.
I mean, this station has something going for it in the fact that it makes you... It has, you know, the accoutrements to make you think you're underground.
Right.
I mean, that's some dedication right there. Think of all the dirt they'd have to chuck up to space just to make you feel that you were in an organic setting.
Just dirt, really. And I guess rock walls.
Right. Yeah. So, but I mean, I think of all the cool recreation you have. You have rock climbing. You have a fun slide. I suppose in the summer they run water through it, so it's a nice water slide.
Well, you know, one of the benefits of being in space is seasons really aren't a concern, so you could actually probably run it all the time.
Right, that's true.
I'm sure that's exactly the people living in the chute were thinking about all these things as they tried to daily survive the shanks in the prison. But
I think the prison would see a significant decrease in shanking if they actually did run water down the chute.
Yeah.
Only they would be a little too busy having fun to be shanking so much.
I guess they'd
saying.
Be shanking about, you know, who would get to go next on the slide. I mean, I can see that. It'd be like,
oh, it's true. The person at the top of the slide has all the power.
That's right.
Jeez.
You know, like when you go to a water park and like there's a guy there that you're sitting there, you're excited, you're ready to go, and you gotta wait for him to put his arm down, and he always waits for like 10 minutes longer than you think you have to because there's somebody down there, and it's like you never even get
it's
close.
Like, do you
even
know someone's down there? Or you
I don't think anybody
because I can't. See
I mean,
the
I guess
end.
We see them disappear.
So if I can't
get
see
the
end
slide,
of the slide, you can't see the end of the slide. So
exactly, It's nonsense.
Well, no.
Anyways, that person holds.
Or it could be, and I did this once, I will admit, that you'll have the kid who goes up there and then is at the top going, yeah, no. And then just like, I'm going back down. Which way?
Right. It's like, no, I'm sorry, you're committed. And then shove down the tube.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You make it up there, you got to go down.
Yeah. There's one way down, and it's let gravity do its thing.
Hey, you know what? So if the person at the top of the chute is going to hold all the power and they're not going to let anybody go through, you know, or like there's going to be a struggle or something, at least, you know, you'll get shanked, but they'll still send you down the chute.
One way or the other.
Have some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get to go down the chute.
There'll be water. It'll be blood. Something will be shooting out.
Whatever. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Well, moving on to...
hang on, I want to talk more about
less deadly stations.
I want this this episode to be called Chutes and Ladders.
But it's got to have a K name, too.
Now, again, depending on which way you look at it, you have the regular one station. But if you turn it upside down, surprise, it's also Earth's space dock before the motion picture. Yeah, but yeah, in regular one, I mean, this station we see all over the place. It was templated...
And that's
it's very, very
trying to visualize in my head. It's like the big top, and then like the circles around it.
It's kind of like it's like a big pillar. So it's got that boxy square with the X on one side, and then it's got like four cylinders grouped together coming down out of the bottom.
Okay.
But in motion picture, those four cylinders are going up. So, and very different scales. Again, this is in the scalable. Space dock. When they were 3D printing these, they realized, oh, we could just mark up the scale like by 30%. And so when the Enterprise D is next to it, it's like that station big. But
they referenced regular one in 2009. I didn't know that.
There we go.
Oh, you're right. I think they did. So, but yeah, so regular one. I mean, this is we definitely see in the Wrath of Khan as it is Carol Marcus's station.
No, and I think it's funny because
making the Genesis device.
As I know, people listening can't see it, but hopefully you remember it in your mind. But it almost, not quite, but I almost see a K9, or K7, sorry. Yeah, K9 in my head. A K7 inspiration. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's sort of like, yeah. And maybe it's there's only so many ways to do a station, but.
Yeah. It's gray and has things sticking out of it. So, yeah, I could see it.
It's like Monopoly when you can't put down a hotel and you have to put down a house. You put down a regular one station, and then when you get enough of them together, you get a space dock.
See, okay. So,
oh, nice.
Now, there is a Star Trek Monopoly. What are the hotel and housing pieces? I don't know. I really don't know. Do we know?
Oh, I actually think space docks are the housing pieces. Okay, listeners, you're going to have to bear with us as we look up Star Trek Monopoly.
And what does it say? Actually, I do think I own it. I wonder if I do. You look it up.
Because this is the critical information we need to bring you. I'm seeing a lot of ships. They're more concerned with the pieces. That's
or, you know, Star Trek.
That's chess, so that doesn't help me at all. That is a circular version of Monopoly. You know, I don't see it. I'm thinking they just used cheap old houses, which is kind of lame.
That would be super lame.
That is pretty dang lame.
Oh, here we go. I got a picture of the open box.
It's funny. I have it, but I can't get it out.
You're failing the team, Philip.
I can get it out if you really want me to, but it's going to take like 30 seconds.
Of course, you can't really see from the picture.
All right, I'll go.
But yeah, a little Star Trek Monopoly aside.
Well, you can't put it aside now. Philip's already looking for it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, Philip, we don't care anymore. You can just.
We moved on.
But again, they're more concerned with the pieces than the.
Man, I feel sorry for the guy who has to edit this one.
I don't.
All right. Okay. Oh my gosh, it really is just hotels and houses. That's so disappointing.
Man, I'm really disappointed now. I think it really should have been regular ones and space docks. That's really the only way.
That is so disappointing, guys.
Okay, now, to be fair, I think it's the... Settlers of Catan version, they have space docks, and they actually, I think you add a piece onto it to make it bigger, and that of the space dock, and that's upgrading it. So,
I think you're right.
But, yeah, it's, okay, Monopoly, come on, guys. You're getting off your game.
Now, I'm trying to, so this was, I have it in my hand here. I have, it's Star Trek The Continuum Edition, which I don't see any Q on it. So now, this is not, this is after Enterprise, but so it doesn't have any JJ on it, and then no Discovery, of course. So I think the next edition, Monopoly, if you're out there, come on now.
I do like how the...
You changed your tokens.
Monopoly money looks like Latinum. That's kind of cool.
Which one is this? Is it called Star Trek Continuum?
It's called Star Trek Continuum Edition.
Okay, I'm looking at one that's for Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm looking at Continuum Edition. Aw, then how come all of this the pieces are TOS themed?
That's no Continuum, Daniel. That's... playing it for the very first time. Now, surprise everyone, it's our first game.
It's our
Star Trek
Monopoly.
Yeah.
That would
playing
be
Monopoly.
The most boring thing. Fun to play. I like Monopoly.
Not the way we can play it.
Okay, this is in the Continuum Edition, and this is totally about space stations, obviously. But these are the game pieces. So I think this is, so you have a Vulcan Lyre, you have the TOS Captain's Chair, you have the TOS Communicator, you have what I would argue would be like a Star Trek original series movie phaser, you have a Klingon Goblet, and then you have a TOS Galileo.
So all TOS, basically.
Mostly.
Yeah. Yep, pretty much. Mm. So much for Continuum, Parker Jeez. Brothers, or whatever the heck owns Monopoly. I don't remember.
Dang it, Monopoly. Why'd
Is
you?
It Parker Brothers?
Why'd you?
Well, think of it, Daniel. You could buy and sell and mortgage Bajor, because that is on here.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's probably the brown.
It's actually
ones.
The yellow.
What?
I can tell you. The brown ones are the Zindi Council Planet. Okay. And the unit complex, the Borg unit complex, obviously.
The Borg unit complex. Oh, jeez. Yes. We could make a better Monopoly than this.
So
yes, there was very little thought.
The blues would be the United Federation of Planets headquarters in Paris.
Okay. I feel like we're drifting
Command.
A little bit there. Okay, yes. But
so what are the greens? Let's keep going.
Cardassia,
Daniel,
Tholia, and the new founders homeworld.
Tholia, I don't care. Why are we talking about Tholia? Is there a station over Tholia? I don't think there is.
Tholia Station 1, yeah.
But then T1. I'm so disappointed that there's the go-to-jail, the free parking, and the jail are just the regular Monopoly ones.
Oh, man, it's even more disappointing than I thought. Just so you know, City Alpha 3 is not endorsing Star Trek Monopoly this edition, if you couldn't pick it up.
And Chance and Community Chest are replaced with Subspace Transmission and Sensor
Readings.
Oh,
at least they got a little creative. Jeez.
They're still railroads? That's what I want to know.
The railroads are ships. You have the Enterprise D, you have Voyager, you have the Klingon Bird of Prey, and the Romulan Warbird.
Interesting. Okay.
That's interesting choices.
Of all
the ships.
I don't know why they just
I would not expect those.
The theme.
Well, you know, they would have had the TOS Enterprise, except for all the pieces got TOS dibs, so they had to balance it out somewhere.
Though I'm interested,
Continuum.
On the back of the box it says, includes speed play, which whatever, and optional Star Trek rules. I have to wonder what would be
the
optional
speed play,
Star Trek rules.
The Borg come in after a certain amount of time and just assimilate the entire Borg. That's basically Monopoly.
Actually, what happens is not Mortog shows up. And
you know I have 30 minutes to finish this game.
Guys, you're trying to improve Star Trek Monopoly. It's just not working, guys. It's not going to happen.
You, the one who is on Bajor.
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. This is optional Star Trek rules. It's all the double rules. So you get double ones, you engage the Federation timeship technology, and create a temporal rift to move your token to any location in the continuum.
No.
Double twos. Apply one of the Ferengi rules of acquisition. Opportunity plus instinct equals profit. Collect 200 from the bank. Ooh, doubles threes. Fire photon torpedoes to remove an opponent's starship and return it to the bank. Yes. Borg attack is double sixes. Attempt to assimilate another player's property.
Oh, you assimilate it, their yeah. property instead of
assimilate it with
or...
savings. The market is
this is the best commercial ever.
I'm gonna refinance for a new lower mortgage on my Starbase. regular one took a little longer than I was expecting to talk, but next on my list I had Jupiter Station from Voyager. We see it's not in the Delta Quadrant, but back parked next to Jupiter. Oddly enough, maybe it's on the other side of the planet from that giant space dock square. But
I've been on Jupiter Station because in Vegas, when they had the Star Trek Experience, the other one was the Star Trek: The Experience Borg Invasion, which I have the poster right over here on my wall, and that was set on Jupiter Station. And so, which was the EMH was your guide who was assigned there.
Ah.
So yes.
Good job, Dr. Zimmerman.
No, the actual EMH, unless you're just complimenting him.
But Dr. Zimmerman was on the station. That's where he was stationed.
That's where he worked, yeah.
And it's totally not a star, you know, space dock. It's got, like, 9 dishes. Totally not a starship either. It's like they bolted a bunch of saucers together, but...
Could be like R&D. I mean, that's what he's doing there.
So they were thinking, oh, Deep Space Nine, you were able to move your station. Well, what if we just bolted saucers from starships together? Nope, doesn't work that way.
Nope.
Another station.
Now, is there a Mars orbital station where the defense
too
perimeter...
Too soon, Philip, okay? Too soon. I mean, this got...
Never forget.
We know that got blown away as well as the infamous Mars defense perimeter. We have to talk about Mars defense perimeter more.
You know, I think the Mars defense perimeter, isn't that the team that always plays against the Globetrotters?
It sounds like it, yeah.
Well, you know, the MDP, as we'll come to know it as... No.
Okay, I guess we're doing that now.
All right. Next station was the Particle Fountain from The Quality of Life. This sips the geothermal goodness or whatever it was from the planet below, but it's highly unstable, and you know it can phase you out of time. It's really bad. You know, you just don't. It's hard to turn off once it gets going.
You'll
really
have to remind
interesting
me.
Station. Okay, it's a tall.
This
is the
episode.
One with the exocomps.
Okay. All right.
This
I
is the one
now.
With the exocomps, and they're not simple tools, Philip. They, you know, they feel
Look,
pain.
I invented them. They're just simple tools.
So yeah, it's the one where at the end they beam themselves over, and one stays behind so the other two can live, and we all learned a lesson for the day about those exocomps, but. Yeah, this is the one where they're trying to like get power from the planet, and it all goes horribly wrong. And yeah, but Particle Fountain, amazing station.
I don't remember much about it.
Yeah, it's the station itself. Not much. Well, then you're gonna remember even less of this next one. It's the Tangula 4 Research Station, otherwise known as the Krieger Wave Maker from
yes.
Matter of Perspective.
No, I remember that one.
I mean, it's a matter of perspective about whether you remember it.
Yeah. It's so advanced that if you make a holographic simulation, it can have the same deadly effects. That's how good the holodeck is. It's why? Why holodeck? Why make bullets kill and make... Just
Moriarty's.
Design this thing? Yeah. No, this is... Yeah. Not a very good idea. But yes, this is the one where... They were generating Krieger waves, hypothetically, not yet, but really, in actuality, already. He was just shopping around the patent, trying to get the buyout for his golden parachute. But
Now, I'm trying to remember. So for that episode, so like I remember the part where there's sort of like where everything got blown up. I remember that sort of scene or that room or the main room.
Right. It's like the first act.
Yeah. But like all the other rooms, is that in the station or do they beam down to the planet?
No, they're all
it's on
the station. Yeah.
Okay, it's very cozy, I have to admit, in that station then, because like
very small.
Yeah, it's a small station.
Yeah, I mean you can walk in on anyone else, his wife apparently,
and the door closes like this.
Look, it's an alien station, Darren. You can't expect it to have whoosh technology of Starfleet.
What's this? Trademark. What is this? What is this cylinder sticking out from this edge of the door? How do I get out?
Starfleet Academy still has pull doors, so you know.
Well,
some of them.
Yeah. Was it Starfleet Medical? Like, had the standard like push bar glass doors when Picard was having his surgery?
Ooh, I don't know. It's good memory.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
I think two. I think so.
Yeah, I remember just the one from Wesley's dorm. That was
well, but that makes yes. That makes sense because it's an authentic dorm room experience. Like, it's not going to be that
oh.
nice.
Oh, so like have... each dorm is themed, and that's like 1999 themed.
Each decade or each, you know, age of dorm rooms, like you ones know, will be like some... cylinder blocks. You know,
no wonder Tom Paris kept trying to flunk.
It doesn't matter that Starfleet Academy didn't exist in that time period. They're still going to pretend, you know, that it's something special.
Right. Well, you know, like most other universities, I'm sure, even if they don't have money, they maybe still had different ones where they named it after someone, and then the naming rights, and that person got to sort of envision what that dorm would look like. So, I'm sure there's the Animal House dorm. so,
dorms. Oh man.
Well, so going from the small Krieger Wave station, yeah, I think you mentioned it already, Philip, but we have Earth Space Dock. How big is it? Eh, who knows?
No, see, it gets bigger. It's like, you know, the reverse anomaly. It goes bigger in normal time. And so in the 23rd century, it was this big. But in the 24th century, it's going larger as it goes forward in time.
Because it looks like a mushroom, is it literally organic and it grows? Because... yeah, it's... come on, guys.
I mean, it's got to be the biggest. Besides maybe the Dyson Sphere and a few select others. Like, it's got to be the biggest single object, you know, and V'ger and stuff like that, obviously.
Right, right.
That we see in Star Trek. It has to be, because think of that whole top of that dome area. Like, we see...
starships park inside that.
Yeah.
It's hollow. Yeah.
Yes, it has got to be so massively huge. And that's only the tippy top of it.
And it was big when it fit the Constitution class. But then when you scale it up by like 30% for the Enterprise D to fit through there, it's just like those doors. That's where I guess that's my problem with it, is like the scale just breaks down because the thickness of those space dock doors when the Enterprise D is going next to it. I'm like, what are you protecting against? Like, these things are like 50 meters thick. Like, why do you need doors like that?
Is it pressurized?
No, it's not.
Is there atmosphere?
There's space. I mean, not in the top part. That's the space dock. So it's like you're keeping the space from the inside separate from the space from the outside, except for when you open the doors.
Do we know that, though? Because I'm thinking maybe they have like...
No, there's not a force field they go through. It's unpressurized.
Well, maybe we just don't see it, Darren.
We see them go that door for a long time.
But that's true. It's a good question, and I guess I'm not trying to use my imagination, so maybe. But like, why would you want that?
Go to the Monopoly. Okay, it's gonna have the answer.
So you could, you know, so the people on the inside could just walk outside, like, so you didn't have to, you know. I'm not saying it is. I'm just like in my mind, like, what other reason for those doors?
Like, why not just have like dry dock?
There's no reason to, like you're saying, Darren. There's literally no reason for those doors other than trying to keep something in or out. And you're not going to be keeping people out, I guess. I don't know.
Well, maybe it's like a security thing. Like, when you go to a hotel, you really don't want the hotel where, like, the rooms are on the outside because it's kind of dodgy. You want the one where the rooms are on the inside. And so I think maybe it's like that.
But sounding like they were originally planning to make it, like, it was 3 miles high, which it kind of feels like it. It's
home to a quarter of a million humans and aliens, a shining beacon in space all alone.
You know, on a clear day, you can see the space dock from here.
But, I mean, I think the space dock, other than size issues, I mean, I think, though I'm trying to remember, in the Next Generation episode, 1-0, etc., that's not Earth. So, I mean, like, that's sort of like a standard Starfleet space dock model, which seems like, again, huge to have a bunch of those.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, you could get, like, the crowning achievement, like, maybe Vulcan has one and Earth has one, but, like, if, like, there's, like, 20 of these, you're like, that's a lot of effort and work went into that.
Maybe they're, like, the, aircraft carriers of Starfleet or something like that. Like,
I mean, I could
a bunch of them built.
Well, it depends what kind of armament Space Dock has. Like, for instance, you know, and I don't know. I don't see Starfleet necessarily being this way, but like, if you just had them out in dry docks, there's really no protection for ships because, you know, there's no dry docks. Don't have anything on them. If you put them in a space dock, if there's ever any kind of attack, you know, theoretically, it's less Pearl Harbor and more, you know, something secure.
All right, guys. So I want to we're going to touch on some of the JJ stations because there's actually quite a few stations in the Kelvin timeline. So first we have the sphere with the outer disks that we see in 2009 that they launched from.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not, it's like a pressurized sphere, but it's mostly full of like buildings and stuff. Like it's not, it's very different from the Lexington, which we'll get to. But I like this one because, again, you have all the different discs on the outside and each of the ships dock to it, you know, with the clamps kind of clamping onto the saucer. And that was an interesting design. But then I think we also had and that would make sense because you had like a pretty much a whole fleet docked at the same time. Like I never saw any sort of external docks on the Earth Station McKinley.
It is called Star Base One.
SB-1.
I like it too. It's a design that makes a lot more sense than a lot of the stations that we have. Like we just mentioned the whole thing with the other star bases. Like, oh, you go inside of it and stuff. No. This just like has docking areas. And they're very large, so that you can fit in. They're circular, so you can fit a lot of ships on them. I thought that was a really smartly designed base that they came out with.
Yeah, and then we have the aforementioned construction facility of the giant super starship in Star Trek Into Darkness. And not a Borg cube, totally not a Borg cube. I mean, very different.
And only three people worked there, so it's kind of a hush-hush thing, you know?
I shouldn't even be talking about it. You know, let's actually move on from Star Trek Into Darkness for no apparent reason. And
doesn't everyone always say that?
Yeah, you know, I think they do. But, I mean, obviously now you have the Lexington, which is the snow globe in space, as Bone puts it. Like, why look so fragile?
Well, and again, I've only seen the movie once, and so that's on me. But, and I'm trying to remember it. It did seem, and again, I know this is going to sound like a complaint, and I'm not doing that. I'm just saying conceptually. It reminds me on the outside, because it's very beautiful. It's very different. But it does remind me of sort of like the beer brew engine room. Like, there's a lot of pipes and water going on here that, sure, it makes sense, I guess. You need a water system, but I don't know.
I mean, this one was cool in the fact that you had those main conduit pipes that starships could fly through. And remember how big the Enterprise is in this timeline. So this station is massive. And then you have the kind of weird contortional gravity of the spindle, you know, arms with the skyscrapers on both sides. And it's definitely very, it's in space. I mean, this is an artificial gravity. It's not like everything is going to be up. It's going to be very spherical and make sense. So I agree with you. It's a very nicely designed ship or station.
Right. Also, and again, I know this, I'm just picking here, but like Lexington as a space station, like it's not like Station Lexington, it's just like Lexington. I'm like,
Lexington was already a ship name. I feel we could give it a little bit. Okay, guys, let's rename the station right here, right now.
Are we going to go with like some generic like Outpost 12?
Whatever you want.
Name.
Okay, Daniel.
I have a name.
We're not calling it Citadel, Daniel.
We are calling it Citadel.
Daniel.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is, by the way.
If
you haven't played the Mass Effect series, I imagine somebody in the writer's room, maybe Simon Pegg, I don't know, played a bit of Mass Effect. You know, the station itself is... doesn't look very much like the Citadel, but the interior, quote unquote, of the station, the all of that stuff, very, very Citadel-esque. But of course, you know, Mass Effect, not the first ones to come up with a space station, but it is uncanny almost how similar they look sometimes. But anyways, I digress.
Well, I do like, the, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Blue, aqua, Pacifica, Oceana, I don't know what I'm looking for, but like a space station that's not sort of like metally, like your space docks or your Terok Nors. It's more of like, it looks like a planet, almost, you know, a very welcoming planet. And so, yeah, I do now, I think the Lexington, again, that's just, I mean, also Lexington's overused. It'd be like calling it New Yorktown. Like, okay, I mean, there's more than three names out there. And not something so American-based either. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But also, I think location would probably be my problem with the station.
Right next to the unexplored, uncharted
nebula. It'll be fine, guys.
Nebula.
It'll be fine.
It's going to be amazing. We're just going to put it out there in the middle of nowhere, right
It'll
next
be
to
fine.
The worst stuff that we know of.
Maybe that crazy nebula of like debris and stuff was a planet, and they mined it to death to build the Franklin Station, and they created that nebula. We are the monsters.
Lexington is on the bones of the dead. Right. No.
We have met the enemy, gentlemen, and it is us.
Well, the only thing with the Lexington, though, is it's such a huge pressurized volume. This kind of goes to you have those, except for those tubes that the starships go in and out of, everything seems pressurized in there. And I'm like, that's a lot of air.
Now, I assume it's not. I assume it's probably just, I guess they were breathing and they were like way up on those things, weren't they?
Yeah, like that entire sphere is pressurized.
Well, I was going to say, we don't know that. Like, I imagine, like, maybe towards the outside, the air is kept in to a smaller mass.
But that's the thing is, the spindles seem to go all the way from, like, the inner core to the outer edge of the skyscraper.
Yeah, I don't know. So it does seem, where do they even get all that air from? I don't know.
The nebula. The people who used to live there. Yep.
The planet that they killed to build their beautiful shining station, Daniel.
They took it from their cool dead lungs.
Maybe Franklin was the name of the indigenous planet, and they just took the name and built their station.
That's even worse. Just like Avatar or something? I don't know.
We come in peace. This is the beginning of the Mirror timeline right here, guys. It's just going really dark. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking about all these space stations and pressurized volumes
and
a good disproportionate unexpected amount of Monopoly. But Philip, where would someone find you if they wanted to talk about, say, I don't know, Monopoly? That's a good topic that you like talking about.
Well, I would love to play Star Trek Monopoly with anyone. Cause I'm alone painfully. And you can reach me on Twitter. Just roll your dice and tell me how many moves your communicator is going. On Twitter at NC Public Servant.
And Daniel, if someone wanted to talk to you about just how fun that shoot is going to be, I mean, I can't even. The flyer. What does the flyer look like for the shoot park?
They can find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That's the number one, not the word. And trust me, I love to talk to you about
it. Is their catchphrase the shoot theme park? You'll never want to leave.
You won't. That's for sure. You won't get the chance.
You can come in, but you can.
And if they want to talk to me about how the Dead Stop space station was written with the concept was written with one hand because the other one was stuck in a Chinese finger trap, I have sources. They can find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi. So, Daniel, next week, are we going to be talking about? Is it Star Trek Monopoly? It is, isn't it?
You got me.
Star Trek Trivia Pursuit or Star Trek
Connect
4.
I mean, some would say Star Trekopoly. Just take out some of the
Star Trek. Star Trek Yahtzee.
The game of Star Trek.
In fact, I think we'll leave it a mystery as to what we're talking about next week for no reason.
Let it be a dice roll what we're going
to
get.
For no reason other than just because I want to. And not because I forgot to think of one.
Well, we're going to have to take a chance on what you
there pick. You go. See? Right, maybe we'll do Monopoly. We'll see.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
Stranded here beneath this beautiful space station on SETI Alpha 3.